Our story today, our Old Testament story, happened about 2,800 years ago, give or take. And when you look at a story, I invite you to find your place in the story. Some people say that we learn from history, and that's not necessarily so. You know, we live our lives, and we do one thing and another and another and another, and we can learn, but we have to look if we're going to learn. We have to take a peek at history. Otherwise, we're just hopping from one event to another and just moving on through. If we look back, and sometimes at the end of the night in prayer, things bubble up about what happened in your day. When you hold your day before God in prayer, oh, you can gain wisdom. Sometimes you can't even do it at the end of the day. You have to do it looking back at the year or 5 years. Or sometimes, in this case, we look at 2,800 years ago and we look at a story, an event that happened. And it has happened that day and then again and again in different forms, sometimes in our own lives. In this story, we have Naaman, a mighty general. He is powerful. And I ask, is that you in your life? Are you powerful? Do you have riches and wealth? And we talk about riches and wealth, but here are a couple of measures to see if you have power in your life. Can you today, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. It's one of those embarrassing rhetorical questions, but here we go. I'm on a roll. I wrote it, so we're going to do it. Can you today get a clean glass of water? Do you have that ability? Because if you can, you have much more than so many other people in this world. Can you get a clean glass of water today? And even if you want, pour it out. Can you travel? Do you have a car? Well, some of you are too young. You won't get a car for 19 years or so. But I remember, and for some of you, do you remember your first car? I had a 74 Olds Delta 88, 4-barrel, 455. Not that I cared, but you could fit four people in the trunk comfortably. Or so I've been told. And this car, there was a time when, I think it was a right turn that, and I didn't know how the cars worked, but the wires crossed. When I hit the steering wheel right there, the horn would honk. And the car drove me nuts, and it frustrated me because it took $5 to drive anywhere, no matter what. It got 4 miles per gallon or thereabouts. But there I was whining about a car, and yet there are people who don't have transportation like we do. I mean, do you have the ability that if you wanted today, you could be 100 miles away by tonight? And do you have the choice to say, no, I won't go 100 miles, I'll stay home? And there are people that don't enjoy these. Do you have power in your life? And are there times when you're powerless? There's a servant girl in this story, and she serves others. And if you are a parent of a toddler, you know what it's like to serve others. You know what it's like to serve tyrants. But are there places in your life where you serve? Do you serve tyrants? Do you serve pleasant people? But in your life, do you serve? And some people have a little bit of both, where we have much power in some realms, and then we come home and there's no power at all. Or we go different places and there's no power at all. Which are you in the story? We have this mighty general who himself is a servant to a king, and we have a servant girl, and there are others in the story. Do you serve in life, anywhere in your life? We'll look a little more at the story. If you remember, in the reading of this story, there's this mighty general, and the Bible declares him so, and he is very powerful, and yet he has leprosy. He has a disease. And you know, as powerful as we are, as strong as we can be, and we can eat raw spinach at night, we can eat healthy yogurt in the morning. I've seen people do it. I don't know why. But you can do these things, and still, you can break a bone. Or in Naaman's class, he had leprosy. What did he do to get leprosy? You know, when you get sick, when you get really sick, when you have a break or a fall or you're ill or you struggle for breath, you think, what did I do to get this? Naaman wasn't asking the question at the time, but as powerful as he was, he had this dis-ease. Well, we'll look a little more at the story. Oh, the next one. Naaman, who had this disease, because there was a servant girl who spoke to him, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. And Naaman's master, because Naaman served so well and he was successful, said, "By all means, go. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, and taking with him 10 talents of silver. And have you ever been in this place in your life where someone needs help and you are, now none of us are kings or queens, but you have such power and you know somebody in that other organization and you have the ability to send a letter and get help. And that's what this king does. So he sent a letter. And that letter Naaman took with to the king of Israel, and the letter said, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant, Naaman, to you, so that you may cure him of leprosy." No pressure, but please cure him. And as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he thought it was a trick. He tore his robes and said, "Am I God?" And now here the servant girl and the king, they don't have names in the story. They're incidental. They play roles. We know Naaman's name. "Can I kill and bring back to life?" says the king. "Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy?" And he knew that other nation was just out to get him. Do you ever have that in your life? Or do you know someone who just sees conspiracies everywhere? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? When Elisha, and Elisha's a prophet, Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why'd you tear your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with horses, and if you could imagine the entourage, if you could imagine the convoy, Naaman, this mighty general, went with horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And with all this commotion outside, Elisha sends a messenger. "Yeah, go talk to the general. Tell him, go wash yourself in the River Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean." And Naaman went away. Naaman, who traveled such a distance to be healed, to be blessed, to get a gift from God, was willing to walk away from a blessing. Naaman walked away angry and said, "I thought that surely he'd come out to me." And Elisha didn't even come out to him. "I'm sure, surely he'd come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord." And can you imagine, Naaman's thinking as he's traveling, maybe there'll be some lightning, maybe an aurora borealis, I've heard of that, that'd be nice. Maybe a couple eagles will fly by and a white buffalo, and then I'll know I'm blessed. But he didn't get that. He got an errand runner and a message. "Go wash in the river." That's all I want you to do. And that's not good enough, says Naaman. Surely, I thought he'd come out himself and call upon the name of God, and lightning would come, and I'd be cured of my leprosy. And then he remembers the rivers back home. You know, the good waters of Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus. Aren't those better rivers than this little creek you have going here? Couldn't I be washed in them and be clean? You want me to go? I've heard of your leeches here. You want me to go in this river and get chiggers? I've got clean water back home. So he turned, and he would leave a gift of God. He went off in a rage. But his servants, Naaman's servants, went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he tells you a little thing?" And so Naaman, you can almost see him steaming, and he doesn't want to be embarrassed. It's in front of his servants. He decides to go down to that ordinary Jordan River, and he dips himself in. 7 times, like the prophet told him. And as the man of God told him, his flesh was restored, and he became clean, like that of a young boy. Now the Bible's taken liberties, because I've seen young boys and how clean they are. But Naaman, after gathering wealth, after coming, went back to the man of God, and he stood before him. Now I know that there's a God in the world. I got that wrong. I'll start over. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. And the prophet answered, "No, thank you. I work for God." Naaman brought bounty, brought gold, brought silver, brought jewels, brought servants, and was willing to do anything. And has this ever been you, that you believe and you hope that if you could at least, because you've heard it in stories, if you could climb Mount Everest with only sandals and dental floss, then maybe then you'll have earned God's blessing. Well, could it be that God wants you to do something so simple that it feels like dipping in the river 7 times? Well, that just sounds goofy. How could God bless through that? And yet, God is yearning to bless you through something that seems so little. That God is yearning to move in your life and bring great bounty and blessings. And maybe the blessing that God has for you is not the one you had on your heart or on your mind. What does it take? Does it take something grand? Maybe. Or does it take something little? Could God have a rich blessing just waiting for you today? And will you and I have eyes to see it and hands to accept it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.